Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. Did I wish everyone a Happy New Year last week? I didn't. I'm not very big on platitudes. Plus, I don't want to be disingenuous by implying that I think that this is going to be a Happy New Year. I think not, although I will remain as positive as I can, as I always am, you know. But we're going to go into the post-war file. That's right, the post-war file. After everybody's own little personal World War II movie is over, and we've gone beyond the virus, which is all going to happen faster than you think, we can focus on post-war issues, like the fact that Iran is about to get a nuclear bomb. Just in case you weren't paying attention, while everyone in America was hiding under their bed, wetting their pants over the fact that they might catch a cold and die, Iran has been working their way toward a nuclear bomb. AND reports that Iran is now enriching uranium to 20%. How do we know that? Because Iran announced that they are doing so. Yeah, that's right. Now, what you may not know is in order for uranium to be used as an explosive, the concentration of the uranium-235 isotope must be dramatically increased. That's what enriching uranium is all about. Uranium enriched to between 80 and 90% can be used to make a nuclear bomb. Now, most of the time that it takes to reach that 80 to 90% enrichment, most of that time has to be invested up front. Just getting to 3.5% enrichment takes 75% of the time. By the time you reach 20%, you're 90% of the way to a bomb. In short, once you get to 20%, you're virtually done. What remains can be accomplished in almost no time, less than 30 days. And then you'll have material for a nuclear bomb. Or not you, Iran. If you had it, that probably wouldn't be such a big deal because you don't want to blow up the world. But Iran is going to get a bomb. And we know that the Iranians have ballistic missiles capable of carrying their nuclear bomb. We may be just a few months away from Iran having the bomb. And the man who's now about to be installed to protect us from the Iranians is Joe Biden. Yeah. Happy New Year. All right. Let's see. AND reminds us that last time Joe Biden was involved with Iran, him and Barry Ho rewarded them for their bad behavior and turned them loose to set the Middle East on fire. That's right. The last half of the Obama administration was the destruction of the Middle East, the inflammation of already inflamed tensions all over the place. Anyways, so here we go. I mean, one can hope that this whole coronavirus hysteria, which will be judged by history as the greatest fit of hysteria and popular delusion to ever strike mankind. That's how history will judge it. And if you participated, you should be embarrassed. That's all. One can hope that all this hysteria just falls away simply because it becomes less useful for the media and the politicians. You know, it becomes less fashionable for the coronavirus to be a big problem on the watch of the ruling left. Now that the ruling left is going to install themselves, remember, folks, self-government means self-government. That means once the communists and the perverts take over, they install themselves in the government, which is about to happen. Democracy has led to its inevitable end, where the corrupt and the perverted take over by popular demand. So the coronavirus hysteria will fall away because this becomes less attractive or useful to them, or because of an actual existential threat like Iran has a nuclear bomb. But one way or another, folks, the hysteria is coming to an end fairly quickly. Thank you very much. All right. Yes, I'll get to the incident in D.C. on January 6th. I'll get to that possibly. Maybe a little bit later. Maybe not. There's so much more important things happening. For example, in the Dim New World file, Amazon has removed Parler from its web hosting service. That's right. I read this article as I was getting ready to go to air today, and so I immediately jumped on my web browser, and I went over to Parler, which I'm doing right now, as a matter of fact, just to double check as I go. I go to Parler, and, well, maybe I can't go to Parlor. You know, I'm not that good on the old interweb there. Parlor.com. Just to see if they're still up and running, and they are. But at midnight on Sunday, Amazon is kicking them off the internet. Why? Because they won't restrict free speech. Speaking of fashionable, it's become fashionable to restrict free speech. Yes. In fact, I was just reading. There's a comedian who I never really found to be all that funny because he's so disgusting and perverted and corrupt, and everything he does has some sort of homosexual undertone. Anyway, it's a Russian guy or something like that with the mustache and the crazy hair. Anyway, he's made a career now of promoting the restriction of free speech. It actually helps increase his popularity amongst his audience to be in favor of restricting free speech. Who can explain this with the kids today? Apple and Google Play have removed the Parler app from their stores. And according to Newsmax, conservatives have said the ban is stifling of free speech. Yeah, you think so? It's stifling of free speech. And what the ruling left needs to keep in mind, and what they should have been reminded of with the altercation in Washington, D.C. on the 6th. That's what I'm going to call it, an altercation. What they should have been reminded of is that speech is war by other means. Speech is politics. Politics is war by other means. And if the ruling left decides to take away the free speech of free Americans, there is going to be a war. And it's very unfortunate. That's not what I want to happen. But the restriction of free speech eventually leads to people getting killed and killing each other. That's where it leads. And that is where we're going full speed ahead, courtesy of the ruling left at Twitter and Facebook and Google and everywhere else, the entire Silicon Valley, Washington, D.C., from one valley to one swamp. Yes, we're being uttered headlong into a Soviet era. It's either going to be 1,000 years of darkness or there's going to be a war. And neither option is very attractive. Speaking of not very attractive, let's go to the Kim Kardashian file, where Kanye West and his wife, Kim Kardashian, are filing for a divorce. No way. This is probably the most important story of the week, actually. Because Kim Kardashian and Kanye West probably have more influence on more people's lives than anyone else that I'll talk about today. Certainly more than Mitch McConnell, right? Nancy Pelosi? How much impact does Nancy Pelosi have on anyone's life? Very little. But people look at Kanye West and people look at his slut, disgusting wife for whatever reason, and they have an influence on their life. Well, they're getting divorced. A source says they're getting divorced because, quote, Kim Kardashian has grown up a lot. She's like grown up, you know, since her first marriage and then her second and like now her third. She's like grown up. Meanwhile, they say that Kanye is talking crazy, crazy. That's because he's come out against the killing of innocent children, which means he's insane. All of Kim Kardashian's friends have had abortions, have paid for abortions. They probably have abortion parties in Kim Kardashian's circle. You know, it's like a Tupperware thing with them. You know, they all pitch in. Anyway, and so they're freaking out because Kanye has recognized that Anyway, he says he's done with the whole Kardashian family, says rapper. Is he a rapper? I don't know if I would. I don't know what he is. His music is horrible. It's awful. Not listenable. It's just terrible. But anyway, he reportedly calls his mother-in-law, Kris Jenner. Now, Kris Jenner, did that used to be a man? Or is that whole family is rather confusing. Now, I think Kris Jenner has always been a woman, but she just has a guy's name. Whereas Bruce Jenner is now not Kris Jenner, but Bruce Jenner is another something else altogether. Anyway, he calls his mother-in-law Kris Jung-un, which that's kind of funny. But anyway, this is tragic, as tragic as something like this can be with people who are so superfluous. Anyway, the reporter over at Breitbart says that the biggest issue, says the reporter at Breitbart, is their house in Calabasas. So the reporter at Breitbart obviously has no children, because the reporter at Breitbart doesn't realize that the biggest issue in the divorce is the four children. But since no one under 40 has kids anymore, they can't even relate. They don't even comprehend the idea. What, this is going to affect the children? What are you talking about? Anyway, I'm just assuming, by the way. I don't know who the author is. I'm assuming it's someone under 40 with no kids, because the reporter thinks the biggest issue is the house. Why? Oh, it's in Calabasas, and it's worth some millions of dollars. Yeah, ask the kids a year from now if they care about that. Anyway, this would be Kanye West's first divorce and Kim Kardashian's third and counting, as she continues to grow. All right. By the way, their four children are named North, Chicago, Saint, and Psalm. All right. That's just tragic. It's tragic that these two procreated in their irresponsibility. Because, I mean, you can't take that back once you have kids and then you destroy their lives. You can't take that. Doesn't, no matter how many millions, no matter how many houses in Calabasas, it just doesn't matter. What I had a note here about the altercation in Washington, D.C., which seems to pale in comparison to the utter destruction of four children's lives on the front pages in front of God and everybody in public now, because these two idiots can't keep their act together. They are a picture of America today. They're two completely vacuous morons, utterly disconnected from all of human history, fall backwards into having a family and don't know how to keep it together. That is the story of the millennial generation.
But wait, one is waking up.
Oh, that's right. Well, Kanye has somehow, perhaps. I don't give much credence to any of that. I mean, we'll see. Kanye has a long way to go before I would ever credit him with being of any value to human civilization at all. Number one, he has to make up for all the destruction that he's wrought so far. So he's got a lot of work ahead.
He said more than anybody ever said.
Well, that's true. I will credit him with understanding that the murder of an innocent child is bad. Now, that's a pretty low bar, though.
Nobody ever says that.
Well, that's true. You gotta, they don't even say that from the pulpit, for crying out loud. You're right. Sean Hannity doesn't even talk about that, at least not above a mumble or a whisper. At least Kanye West is willing to stand up in front of a whole room full of people and say.
That's the reason, right?
Yeah, I think that's the reason. It's the abortion thing that has freaked everyone out, and now they have to disconnect from Kanye world. Because he's woken up to one of the fundamental values of human civilization is that we shouldn't murder innocent people. That he just woke up to that one thing, and it's like throwing a bomb into the middle of their abortion party. All the Tupperware goes flying. Right? All right. Meanwhile, out in Colorado at the Girls Just Want to Have Fun file, I just downloaded this on Wednesday. The first female Green Beret, which, by the way, was touted on the front page of the New York Times when she graduated from Green Beret School. She was charged. She's been charged with the accidental discharge of a handgun inside her apartment into the apartment of the guy living next door. Accidental, yeah. What's her name? Angina Riki? Agnija? I don't know how to pronounce her name. Ania Riki? 34-year-old Green Beret told officers she fired the gun by mistake while she was training in her home. You know how Green Berets do. They train at home all the time in their apartments. Let's see. She says she was dry firing her 9mm when she found out it was loaded. How did she find out? It went off. And the bullet went into her neighbor's, let's see. The Army, when in reporting the incident, the Army did not reference the soldier by name. Although at her graduation, the New York Times put her on the front page. She graduated from Fort Bragg just in July and became the very first Green Beret. The Army announced her name with great fanfare back then. Now, fortunately, no one was hurt in the accidental incident. Yes, officers learned of the episode an hour or so after the discharge of the weapon. Why? Because the Green Beret did not immediately report it to anyone. No, her neighbor says he was asleep when he heard a loud bang. He woke up, but then he yawned and stretched. He went back to bed. Then he gets up to go to the bathroom about an hour later, and there's a bullet hole in the wall and a bullet lodged inside of his bath towel. Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, try to find this story on Google. You're speaking of big tech, folks. The ruling left, which is partly big tech, is in full naked ambition mode. They're banning any voice that deviates from their deviance, so to speak. So, and even though they deviated a long time ago, I mean, those of us who understand the truth and actually want to know the truth, we know that the truth has never changed. It's kind of like your sex. It just doesn't change. But the ruling left and big tech, they all deviated quite some time ago. And now if you deviate from their deviance, you'll be deplatformed. And this story is a perfect example. Look up her name. I've got her name here. Angina, A-G-N-I-J-A. Her parents obviously had a sense of humor. Or maybe they're from Eastern Europe. Anyway, Angina Riki. I'll post the link, but then you try to find it on Google. You search her name on Google News, all that comes up is the New York Times article where she's graduating from Green Beret School. We've got the first female Green Beret. Hallelujah! You can't find this story with a GPS that she shot into her neighbor's apartment and then didn't tell anybody. She didn't even go to find out if she killed anybody. But you can't find it because big tech and the ruling left have decided that only the deviants are allowed. Worldview, we're waiting. We need a hero. No, we have a hero. Angina Riki. No, I mean the guy next door. Wait a second. I'm not sure we have any heroes here. Well, that's the thing about the military is they're not all heroes, okay? Anyway, but I know those of you who never served, you have to bow and scrape. But those of us who did, I mean, we were there, okay? I was laying in the barracks when the MP barracks next door, one MP shot another MP over pool. And no, accidentally, acting like a hot shot. Yeah, shot him and almost killed the guy. It woke all of us up. We were like, what's going on? It's like gunfire. Anyway, meanwhile, let's see here. We go to the Way of All Flesh file. I said the Way of All Flesh, where we check in with one Neil Young, who unfortunately has had an undue influence on Western civilization himself. Probably the most untalented, worst songwriter, one of the poorest guitar players with one of the most horrible voices in the history of anything called music, has somehow had a career that has spanned some 7 decades. Neil Young. Uh-huh, that whiny, gravelly, yeah. Have another cigarette voice, Neil Young. Anyway, he hasn't sold his soul yet, but he's selling all of his music or an interest in it to a British investment company. So Neil Young is selling out to Coca-Cola is what's happening. But he didn't do it back when he released that song back in 1988. Do you remember? I remember. Because I've hated Neil Young ever since I became aware of Neil Young. As soon as I just managed to choke back the vomit from listening to one of his wretched, horrible songs, I knew that I would have a lifelong hatred and detestation of Neil Young, and I still do to this day. But he wrote a song in 1988 called This Note's for You. You remember? That's where he criticized all the artists who were selling out their music for advertising campaigns. Well, Neil has gotten over any sense of artistic dignity. Probably after listening to his own music while sober. You know, he probably sobered up and he realized, man, this is garbage. This is horrible. I mean, if someone can sell some M&Ms with it, I mean, at least it would be worth something. It's just terrible. Anyway, Neil didn't sell out back in the 80s for a few hundred grand. No. He held on, and he's going to rake in some $500 million, they say. So wait a second. No. That's not it. No, that was Bob Dylan. I'm sorry. I was going to say, there's no way. Neil Young, $500 million? Okay, Bob Dylan sold out to Universal a few years ago for $500 million. Stevie Nicks raked in $100 million from some sucker. Really? Nikki, or what's her name? Stevie Nicks? I'm sorry, $100 million? Anyway, let's see. Neil Young, do we have a figure here of how much money? You know what? It's not, Neil doesn't want to say, probably because it's embarrassingly less than even Stevie Nicks got. But hey, anyway, why am I doing this story? I don't know, because I detest Neil Young, and I'm shocked that you know what? He'll probably sell some diapers, or it'll probably be of some value. Adult diapers, probably. Oh. Depends. A horse with no name or something like that. No, was that him? Hold on. They have a list of his songs here. They have some of his greatest hits. Anyway, we won't get into any of that because who needs to hear any of that? Meanwhile, from the widespread panic file, ambulances in Los Angeles County have been told not to take people who need an ambulance to the hospital. Well, because of COVID-19. Cases are through the roof. As you know, if you've been following the news, for the past 3 weeks, there's been zero ICU capacity in Los Angeles County. And that's why you're seeing so many videos of bodies piling up in the parking lots of the hospitals in Los Angeles County. No, you miss those? You just need to do a more specified Google search and you'll find, anyway, what's happened here is a memo was issued directing ambulance staff not to transfer to hospitals most patients who have virtually no chance of survival. Virtually no chance. You know what that means? That means you have some chance. And that is particularly when you need an ambulance. Yes. When you have virtually no chance of survival, that's when you call an ambulance, I thought. Anyway, patients who will not be transported to hospitals during the current hysteria will include those whose hearts have stopped. Wait a second. If my heart stops, I want someone to call an ambulance. Okay, am I being redundant now? I apologize. People who have no signs of breathing, no movement, pulse, or blood pressure. That's when you would think you need to go to the hospital and in an ambulance. I don't want to be in the back of a Camry for crying out loud. I want the lights flashing. I want the red lights to change to green. Listen to this. They ask that ambulance staff do not transfer people who, quote, would be declared dead at the scene. What? So who's supposed to judge who's going to be declared dead at the scene? If you don't take them to the hospital, that increases their chances of being dead at the scene by like 100-fold. The reason we call an ambulance is because we don't know if they're going to die. We hope they're not going to die. That's the whole point of the ambulance. Anyway, LA spokesman Jeff said that such arrangements make more sense, you see, than setting up a field hospital or a medical ship as we did earlier in the pandemic because, you know, it just makes more sense to not bring people to the hospital because the medical infrastructure and staff are already in place at the hospital. And then nobody stopped to say, wait a second, what you're saying doesn't make any sense. Increasing ICU capacity makes less sense than letting people die who could have come to the hospital in an ambulance. Okay. All righty, Jeff. How much are you making a year, Jeff? $1.25. Seriously. All right. We have a quote here from Jeff. If you set up a tent or have a ship, you have to build everything else around it. Don't you people understand? I mean, how could that possibly happen? We couldn't do that. Someone needs to remind Jeff that we did it back in March. Oh, that's right. It was embarrassing for all of you leftists when it turns out that the virus wasn't as bad as you thought and we didn't need all that ICU capacity. And you weren't willing to risk that. It's better to have people dying in the street waiting for an ambulance. That makes a lot more sense, especially when you're a part of the ruling left and part of your job is to kill off old people. I'm starting to suspect, I mean, call me a conspiracy theorist, I'm starting to think that perhaps there are people in the government who want old people to die rather than get their health care needs met and have them live another 5 years or 6 years. And folks, this is what socialism brings. We have socialist medicine in America right now. I mean, it's partially privately funded through insurance and other scams. But it's pretty much socialist healthcare. And at some point, the socialists decide who lives and who dies. And then you throw in the hysteria over coronavirus, and now they've got a license to kill. Hey, if he's old and his heart stopped, leave him in the apartment, for crying out loud. Keep that hospital space freed up for people who need it. Well, what about the guy whose heart stopped? I mean, isn't that by... Okay, I'm being redundant. Anyway, now we have another message from L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti, chief hysterical in charge. Hysteric number one in L.A. County. His message to everybody, and this means you, everybody. My message to everybody is this, meaning coronavirus, is not only going to come for somebody that you love. This is going to possibly come for you. Huh. Everything we do is either life-saving or life-taking at this point. That's Eric Garcetti. Now, he's implying that if you go outside without a mask, you're taking lives. That's what his implication is. But what he's doing, remember, Eric, when you point at someone, there's three fingers pointing back at you, Eric. Everything you do is either life-saving or life-taking at this point. The orders from your office, Mr. Garcetti, to restrict ambulance use to only people who don't need it. I don't understand. Who gets the ambulance now? What, if you have a hangnail? Huh? Your Botox didn't set up right, you get the ambulance? You know, but if you're having a seizure and you might die, well, let's not pick that guy up. Anyway, everything you've done up until now, Eric, is life-taking or life-giving. By the way, that's pretty much always true every day for all of us. Everything you do is either life-giving or life-taking, Eric. You're not that deep. You're not that bright. And now he says, now listen to what he says. This coronavirus is not only going to come for somebody that you love, this is going to possibly come for you. Possibly, Eric? Doesn't that imply that it might not? Oh, no, I'm not allowed to think about that. I've got to live in utter fear and terror. You know what I'm more afraid of than the coronavirus, Eric? I'm afraid of having a heart attack in Los Angeles County and that you'll let me die on the side of the road. Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. So glad you stuck with us. I'm glad that you didn't have some sort of medical episode in the break, because Eric Garcetti would have left you to die. Meanwhile, from the Poetic Justice file, Dr. Dre suffered a brain aneurysm this past week.
Don't call an ambulance.
He is currently, at least at the time I downloaded this story, which was on, this would have been Monday. He was in the intensive care unit last week despite zero capacity.
Oh.
Somehow Dr. Dre defied the numbers.
Wow.
And managed to get himself into an intensive care unit in Los Angeles County where there is zero capacity.
That's impressive.
It's, he's Dr. Dre. Anyway, Dre is, last I checked, I looked it up, and he's alive, and he's talking again, and so, he's in the middle of a messy divorce, apparently, probably brought on the aneurysm. His wife is demanding $2 million a month. $2 million a month? Hey, you know? And she wants $5 million in legal fees. No wonder he's had an aneurysm, for crying out loud. Anyway, though many of you in my audience may not be familiar with Dr. Dre, he rose to fame in a band called Niggas with Attitude. Oh, am I allowed not to say that? Or am I not allowed to not say that? That was the name of his band. I apologize if I've offended anyone. It was called Niggas with Attitude was the name of the band. Not a band, really. They didn't play any instruments. They just scratched records. Their hits included Straight Outta Compton and F the Police. That was their big hits. Dr. Dre founded Death Row Records. Death Row Records, strangely enough, as he lays with an aneurysm. He founded Death Row Records with Suge Knight. Y'all remember Suge Knight, right? Now, Suge, he already be dead. And Dr. Dre up in there with an aneurysm. No, wait a minute. Suge ain't dead, is he? Uh-uh. Now, Suge up there in prison now on attempted murder. But he ain't dead. Now, Tupac, he be dead. Tupac already be dead. Anyway, why is this in the, am I not allowed to do that? Is that considered insensitive to talk about Suge already? Suge up in there on attempted murder charge. He up there in prison. And Tupac, he done be dead. Now, let's see here. Where was I? Oh, why is this in the Poetic Justice file? Now, this is just Poetic Justice, okay? Within hours of this headline being run, Dr. Dre's home was burglarized. No doubt by people who purchased many of his records. No, wait, they didn't get in and they didn't get away with it. The cops caught people casing his house. So they're... An attempted burglary was pulled on Dr. Dre while he's laying all up in there with a brain aneurysm. Man, brother can't get no respect. All right. Dr. Dre. Zero ICU capacity. Anyway. We move on now. Now, this is serious here. Now, wait a second here. I wanted to do something else that was entertaining and funny, but the next few stories are pretty depressing. The next few... okay, let's just get into it. Los Angeles County, Wayfinder Family Services is a nonprofit organization that provides support services to children, adults, and families. Although families should be in quotation marks. Because if the people Wayfinder nonprofit helped had families, they wouldn't need Wayfinder. People with families don't need, their children don't need services. No, the adults and the children, they service one another. You know, with human services, health and human services. Those human services, we used to call those families. So anyway, but Wayfinder is a, I'm getting all worked up over this. I don't know why. I need to calm down. I'm pushing my indicators, my input indicators on the LED there are up in the red because I'm getting all worked up about all this stuff. Anyway, Wayfinder substitutes itself for families when families are broken and they provide services. Like, I don't know. Most people need love and attention and affection. And I don't know how you get that from a nonprofit. But apparently that's what they try to do. And they had a fellow working for them, a 25-year-old counselor, was working for Wayfair last Saturday trying to provide family services to adults and children. The counselor tried to break up a fight that was happening amongst seven children needing human services. And those seven children beat the counselor to death. He tried to break up the fight. Two 18-year-olds and five juveniles then turned on him like a pack of wild dogs and beat him to death. No good deed goes unpunished. You try to provide love and affection and services for people, and they beat you to death. It's just sad. David McKnight Hillman, the counselor, was found suffering from blunt force trauma injuries, and he died. Trying to provide services for families where, well, there was no family, unfortunately. Just a tragic, horrible, awful story. And what happens when families fall apart is that the services that are provided by nonprofits, they do not adequately substitute for the human services that we all require. Meanwhile, from the death penalty file, that was the death penalty file, by the way. So this poor counselor, he had the death penalty instituted upon him because of the tragic destruction of the American family. He's another casualty in that war against the family. He is collateral damage, I think you would call him. Very sad. And by the way, the seven young men who beat him to death, they all should be put to death. Put on trial, and once convicted, they should all be put to death. Publicly and in front of God and everybody, put to death quickly. So that the next time someone tries to provide services to a pack of wild animal children, they will think twice before beating that person to death. But they will not be put to death. They will not. They will live and they will mock God. And they will inflict more suffering upon our nation, our community, upon Los Angeles County, where they live. But we go now deeper into the death penalty file. Where do I want to start with this? A vice president at Columbia University. That right there. Just that sentence. I'm sorry, that statement. A vice president at Columbia University has been arrested. First of all, there should only be one vice president. It should be the vice president at Columbia. But because the university system is a giant bloated bureaucracy full of useless people doing pointless things for enormous amounts of money, we have a vice president at Columbia. He's one of many vice presidents. There's so many vice presidents at Columbia University. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting a vice president at Columbia University. This particular vice president, Marcelo Valles, has been arrested for sex assault on an 11-year-old girl. He raped an 11-year-old girl, is this particular vice president. When he was not vice presidenting at Columbia, he's apparently, he raped an 11-year-old and then he went to play 18 holes of golf and then he was arrested. He's listed as Columbia's vice president and point person. He's a point person on all aspects of development, design, and construction of the university's West Harlem campus expansion. And he's also accused of raping an 11-year-old girl. He's been at the university since 1995. He's now in the Bergen County Jail in New Jersey. So why does a 56-year-old man even consider doing this to a child? Why? How does that enter a person's mind? I'll tell you, it's a combination of pornography and the justice system. The system. This guy is no doubt an avid consumer of pornography, and he's been told by the justice system that if he does rape a child and he happens to get caught, he will probably not do much time at all. And he certainly will not be put to death painfully and publicly like he should be. And so those two things in combination mean that more children will be raped by Columbia University professors and vice presidents and others. And so if convicted of this crime, this particular vice president should be put to death. You shouldn't be able to rape children. You should be put to death. I thought we all agreed on that. And the fact that we don't all agree on that means something needs to change dramatically, or you people are going to get all of us killed. You people who think we can tolerate this, you're going to get us all killed, and I'm not going to stand for it. I'm not going to stand for it without fighting against you with my voice, and eventually, if I have to, physically, if I have to. All right. Deeper into the death penalty file. You want to talk about the death penalty. Folks, the death penalty cannot be eliminated. A very wise man taught me that the death penalty cannot be eliminated. It can only be redirected and amplified upon other people. If you don't put to death the people who need to be put to death, other people will die and more of them. And we see that is true now as we go to the Christian Post, where they report that in the year 2020, there were 42 million abortions worldwide, at least 42 million. 42 million innocent children were murdered. That's how many we were able to count. That's the official number. So that's why I say at least 42 million innocent children were murdered in 2020. This surpasses the totals of people who perished as a result of all other causes of death combined. So those of you scared of the coronavirus, think about this. And by the way, the numbers here are according to that ever-popular world site, Worldometer, where everybody tracks the death rate for the coronavirus in Los Angeles County, where everyone tracks the ICU capacity in Southern California, which is zero. By comparison, communicable diseases killed about 13 million people in the whole world in 2020. That's not an insignificant number. It's very sad that 13 million people died of communicable diseases. Do I have to even say that? 8 million people died from cancer. Okay, do I have to tell you that I'm not happy about that? Is that where we are? I have to always say I'm so sad. Doesn't it go without saying that we're against cancer? Do we have to? 5 million people, 7.5 million people died from smoking and alcohol-related illnesses. 7.5 million people. Less than 2 million people have died of coronavirus so far. Well, I guess 2020 is over, so about 1.8 million people died with coronavirus. By the way, they say died of. I scratched that out. They died with coronavirus. Am I sad that 1.8 million people died? Well, you know what? People die every day. Am I supposed to spend my entire life in a dirge because people are dying? How many people are born every day? Can't I just be happy about that? Not really, because we're murdering 40 million of them. And so, folks, walk with me on this for just a second. If there's 40 million abortions a year, and abortion's been legal now for 60 years, right? Around the world, more, 80 years in some European countries. I mean, it's quite possible that we've murdered over 2 billion people. 2 billion people. I mean, just think about that for a second. So the governments of the West, the formerly, by the way, these murders have been legally sanctioned by the Christian world. All the European governments in America, we were all founded on Christian ethics and morals. We once named the name of Jesus Christ in our official founding documents. Letters between our founding fathers, princes and kings of Europe. For 1,000 years, name the name of Jesus Christ. They've now murdered 2 billion innocent people. They've legally sanctioned it. Now, that's quite possibly about the same number of people that God killed with Noah's global flood. It's quite possible we're in the same realm of enormity of criminal activity. We're at the same level of gravity that God was at when he decided to just kill everybody. God will not hold guiltless those who have done this. And not just those who have done it, those who have been quiet about it, those who have censored it actively or by their silence, those who have kept it a secret. I mean, so we're all mad at big tech this week, right? Because of what they're doing to free speech. Are you mad at big tech? You should be more angry at the evangelical church. It's the evangelical church that should be on trial for having allowed this to happen. You want to talk about censorship? Forget about Twitter. Forget about Facebook. What about your pastor who didn't say anything while 2 billion people were murdered? How about getting angry at that? Sticking with us as we continue with that last story. I mean, how do you go on after that? How can we talk about anything else except the 2 billion people plus? How do you bring up another topic after that? Anyway, we've taken note and drawn attention to this fact here at the Weekly Worldview for 20 years. So we were not silent. We spoke up. We went and we tried to stop it. But the ruling left was hell-bent on killing as many people as possible. And so they've gotten away with, this is probably the greatest crime ever committed. It will go down in history when we all look back on it as the greatest criminal act ever perpetrated in all of history. And it was perpetrated by the whole world against innocent children. All right. And so, the Chinese, by the way, lead the world in murdering innocent people. Unborn, born, walking around people in the womb, wherever they can find them. The Communist Chinese Party advocates for the murder of innocent people. The innocent people whom they cannot use for their ends. The innocent people who are of no utility to the ruling left are to be murdered legally. And in Communist China, they do it to walking around people. And that's coming soon to a theater near you. You living in your own World War II movie right now, fighting the coronavirus, storming the beaches of Netflix? Well, get ready, folks, because it's all going to get real, real soon. They've taken Hong Kong. They made their move in Washington, D.C. The Communist Chinese Party has taken Washington, D.C. And I'm not saying that figuratively. They are about to install their man in Washington, D.C., and their girl. And they're going to do it in broad daylight, in public, in front of God and everybody, and we're going to allow it to happen. Why? Distracted by pornography and prescription drugs and that's pretty much it. And video games. We're going to be hopped up on prescription drugs, downloading pornography, playing video games while the communist Chinese install their man in Washington. Most of the country is distracted with what I've just, anyway. Meanwhile, we go to the politics file where the New York Stock Exchange over this past week drew up plans and then withdrew plans and then drew up plans again to delist Chinese state-owned phone companies. I followed the story all week. We're not going to list. We're going to delist them. We're against these Chinese dictatorship. We're going to delist these companies. And by Friday, you don't even know what's going on. The New York Stock Exchange said on Thursday that it would remove these Chinese telecom companies. And then by Tuesday, they said, no, we're not going to. And then by Friday, nobody even knows. The one thing we know is that the Chinese do not want the New York Stock Exchange to delist their phone companies. Hence, there's some hesitation. That should scare the hell out of everyone. The fact that the New York Stock Exchange is scared of delisting Chinese companies because the Chinese Communist Party doesn't want them to. That should scare you. That should scare you more than the possibility of catching a communicable disease and dying. My bet is the New York Stock Exchange will not delist these Chinese phone companies because Donald Trump ordered them to, and Donald Trump is done. That whole thing is finished. And so, at least as president, all right? Let's see. Breitbart reports that under Joe Biden, many on Wall Street and in Beijing expect a warming of relations between the U.S. and China, despite frustration with China's human rights record. Well, there's some frustration. You know, all the people they kill and enslave. You know, but they do it very efficiently. And, you know, those lockdowns looked really cool back in February. Huh. Maybe we'll just... Coming to a theater near you, ladies and gentlemen. Governance by the Chinese Communist Party. From the Dim New World file, we go back to Beijing, as a matter of fact. Why a Dim New World? Because the New World is going to be governed by the communists. The Red Chinese are taking over the world. And it's going to be very dim for any of us who value truth, God, life, children. Those of us who value those type of things, things are going to get very dim. It's going to be a very green, opaque, faded, black and white type world. That's what the world looks like from the floor of a gulag when you're laying on your belly with other people piled on top of you, starving to death slowly in the freezing cold. I know. See, I'm reading Solzhenitsyn's book, Gulag Archipelago. It's very difficult. It's a difficult read, I must say. But it's incredible what people survive. It's absolutely incredible what the human body and mind and spirit can endure and survive. It's astonishing. And I don't want to test those limits, but I'm afraid that many of you listening now and me and my children are going to be forced to test those limits in the not too distant future as we hand our civilization over to nakedly ambitious Marxist atheist murderers. That's who's taking over. But hey, you know what? As long as we make money along the way, everyone's going to be okay because we're all going to continue to make money. Had that conversation with a colleague as we were discussing the communist takeover of America and the Marxist takedown of the free market. Well, you know, Doug, people are just, they're going to still want to make money. So things are going to be okay because, you know, people are still going to want to make money. All right. Anyway, in Beijing, Lao Xiaomin has been convicted of receiving bribes. He was a senior Communist Party member, a banking regulator. Let's see. And well, he was a highly ranked official in the Communist Party up until just a couple of years ago. And now he's been sentenced to death for taking bribes. Yes, this comes as, let's see, NTD.com. I'm not sure who this is, but I'll link to it. They say that Xi Jinping, what's his name? Xi Jinping, the communist dictator there in China. They says since he came to power, he launched an anti-corruption campaign that has now bagged this fellow, Lai Xiaomin. He's been swept up in the anti-corruption campaign of Xi Jinping, which, oddly enough, has purged many of Xi Jinping's political rivals. Turned out they were involved in corruption. Mm-hmm. And it's odd to me that so-called conservative news sites tend to toe the Communist Party line, and they put this in the story, even though the anti-corruption campaign is not an anti-corruption campaign. It's Xi Jinping murdering his political adversaries. That's what they do. And in the past, we used to report it that way. But now, well, you know, Z says it's anti-corruption. So, you know, we got to give Z he has to have his freedom of speech here in the article. So we don't just say that Z's murdering people he doesn't want to compete with politically. We say that, you know, there is an anti-corruption campaign going on, by the way. So the New World is now effectively ruled by the communist Chinese. That's... And so everyone who's worried about an altercation at the Capitol, and they're calling that an insurrection, and they want to use all this... Well, you know what? I'll talk about this more on Bob and Yart Live on Monday, when I'll have... cooler heads will prevail. I'm not going to get into this whole incident... too much. I want to stay. I've already started. The show's almost over. I want to start. Come on. I want to stay here on politics for a moment, where in Colorado, they passed what is called a red flag law, which means other people can accuse you of potential crimes, and then you can be subject to punishment. And so I'm reading Solzhenitsyn, and this is what the Soviet Union used to do. They would arrest you for potential crimes, and then they would torture you until you confessed to harboring thoughts of potential crimes, and then they would sentence you to 10 years or 25 years. Anyway, this is the Soviet Union. It's astonishing that it's happened. In Colorado, you can have your guns taken away because you have the potential of committing a crime, which, by the way, is all of us. All of us have the potential to commit a crime. If you have a gun, you have the potential to commit a gun crime, which is the worst kind of crime. So we've got to get control of all these people with all this potential for criminal activity. In 2020, after the red flag law, but which, by the way, the Republicans in Colorado, they rolled along with this. It's pathetic. I shouldn't say they rolled along with it. I'm sure they voted against it, but they're so pathetically weak that they allowed a Soviet-era law to be passed in the state of Colorado. It's shocking. 66 people had their guns taken away. There were 111 what they call extreme risk protection orders. That sounds like something right out of the Politburo. There was extreme risk, so we needed protection orders, you see, because of the risk. Out of 111 filed, 66 people had their guns removed from them. They had their God-given right to self-defense taken away from them by the government. In Colorado, family members, roommates, law enforcement officers, and legal guardians can petition the court to have somebody's guns taken away. Okay, out of all of those, I would say that law enforcement actually has the authority to petition the court to have somebody to have something done to somebody legally, criminally. Your mother-in-law should not have the right to petition the court, but again, this is the Soviet Union. Punishment for potential crimes. You see, there was the potential that this gun could be used in a crime, and so we have removed the gun, and soon we will remove the person too. We will have all of that here. Not only in Soviet Union, also in Colorado. And now we go to the insurgency file. By the way, insurgency, riots, what are the other words? I had a list of all the words that I've seen the mainstream media apply to the altercation that took place. Rioters, insurrectionists, political violence. They've used all these terms that we've been using here at the Weekly Worldview for the entire year, the past year, since the riots Since the insurrection broke into broad daylight in Minneapolis in late spring, early summer of 2020, once the insurrection was out in public, we've been calling it what it is. The mainstream media has not. I don't have to point out the hypocrisy of that. It's all very obvious, I hope. But now they're using those words I'll talk more about it later in the week. I'll put a link up to that show. If it happens, if I don't suffer a medical emergency in or around Los Angeles County and end up dying in a gutter in Compton, then I'll do a show this week. I'll talk about it. Meanwhile, we've got the insurrection file. The Liberty Loft is reporting that the opening prayer of Congress took place. Not allegedly, it actually took place. You can listen to the tape. Representative Emmanuel Cleaver, D. Mo, which I think that means dumb, Mo. He Mo dumb than most, is Representative Emmanuel Cleaver. How do I know that? Because he is a United Methodist pastor. He is D. Mo. That's, I know it means Democrat of Missouri, but he be D. Mo. Trust me. he did the prayer. So the fact that a United Methodist minister, a pastor, is allowed to do the prayer shows you that we have fallen. America has fallen. America the Great has fallen. We have a United Methodist, atheist, homosexualist, pervert, corrupt thief, a liar, and a murderer leading the prayer, the opening prayer at Congress. George Washington is spinning in his grave. He would have a heart attack. He'd be begging for an ambulance at this point. I mean, every president up until Eisenhower, for crying out loud, would be in shock that you've got an atheist, liar, a thief, and a murderer leading the prayer. And then when he leads the prayer, everybody's shocked. Now, the mainstream media, they gave the most press to the fact that this moron said amen and a woman. That was all over the news. That's all you could find, right? None of them were shocked by the fact that this atheist liar, this heathen murderer, said a prayer to the monotheistic God, to Brahma, the Hindu God, and the God known by many different names. Nobody was shocked by that because nobody even understands that. Nobody understands the gravity of praying to a pagan God in our capital. Nobody gets that. Everyone's, amen and a woman. Ha, ha, ha. It's so funny. All right. But that's not, it's not, this is what, that's going to get a lot of people killed. The fact that we are mocking God, allowing murderers and thieves to stand up and mock God in public, officially on our dime. That's going to get a lot of people killed. Meanwhile, we'll close in the real religion file because we don't have time for the kerfuffle up at the Capitol. We're going to close with the archaeologist Spade has once again basically given us yet more evidence for the veracity of the Holy Scriptures. Archaeologists have discovered a dance floor that is possibly where John the Baptist was sentenced to death by King Herod. Flavius Josephus recorded that he specified that the execution took place at a certain place near the Dead Sea. Well, now archaeologists have found a dance floor where it's quite possible Herodias, the daughter of Herod, was dancing, and you guys know the story, right? Maybe you don't know the story. The author of this article at Live Science, he didn't know the story because he says that Herod was set to marry a woman, and both of them had been divorced, and that was John the Baptist objected to that. That's not what John the Baptist objected to. As soon as I read that, I thought, wait a minute. That doesn't sound right. Wasn't Herod trying to marry his sister or something like that? Anyway, I looked into it. It turns out that Herod wanted to marry his brother's wife. And that's what John objected to, was the adultery and the incest, all of that. And this is why I read the Bible to my kids, so that every night for 20 years, so that when they hear someone quote the Bible and it's a little off, that they'll know it and they'll recognize it. They'll know it's either being quoted or misquoted, and like it was in this. Anyway, The courtyard uncovered There in the Holy Land is likely the place where Salome's dance was performed. Ah, yes, Herodias' daughter Salome danced for Herod. All right, so that's it. That's the Weekly Worldview for this week. I want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to thank my friends at American Right to Life and the Personhood Alliance and Real Science Radio and my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview studios. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.